Welcome to Opening the Door Podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic, intuitive, and mediumship abilities. Come along as we explore how to get in touch with our intuition, expand our mediumship, and open plenty of other doors to every aspect of spirituality, consciousness, and magic along the way. Hey, keyholders. Today you will hear a conversation I had with Karen Page about human design. Human design is really something that I pretty much knew nothing about before this conversation. So we're really going over all the basics. Karen does such a fantastic job explaining everything, and I just love the perspective that she brings to this conversation. We go wider than that in this conversation as well. We talk about capitalism and oppressive systems and stuff like that. And I think that's an important conversation to have. I definitely don't think that's something, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, it's something that we don't really shy away from on the podcast in general. And I think that is important. It's important to be realistic within our spiritual journeys. It's important to recognize the world we're living in. And it's okay to have differing opinions as well. And I would allow, I think sometimes people can get really triggered when it comes to talking about capitalism in both directions, feeling maybe fiercely protective of it, or feeling fiercely unprotective of it. And I would just allow yourself to listen with an open mind. It's not like we talk about that the whole episode, but it is touched on. And I think it's important for all of us to just listen to things with open minds and stuff like that. Overall, I love this episode. Karen, just as I said, does a fantastic job explaining everything, and I think you'll love it too and learn lots about human design. Plus, you can get all of Karen's information and a link to getting your human design chart from Karen in the show notes, of course. Enjoy the episode, and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we're welcoming Karen to Opening the Door. Karen Page is a certified informed practitioner of human design, a facilitator, speaker, and coach. Her work centers the experiences of women of color from an intersectional perspective. She is here to help people find alignment by blending energy work and self-compassion to imagine the possibilities of a liberated world for themselves and the collective. Karen, welcome to Opening the Door.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
I am so happy to have found you on Threads. We were chatting a little bit before we hit record here, but just the super serendipitous way that Karen and I got into contact was Karen simply, what do you say, threaded instead of tweeted? Like, what is the right word? She posted a thread about, you know, basically being like, hey, I'm a human design expert and I'd love to be on some podcasts. And I just had so happened to have been wanting to find a human design expert to have on the podcast. So it was just perfect, divine, universal timing.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you again for leaving a comment, because now we're here and we're about to have this incredible conversation about human design. So I'm like, let's dive in.
Yeah, I am so excited because I honestly know so little about human design. So I am going to be learning right along with my audience who, well, I'm sure there's some people who are familiar with it who listen, but I'm sure there's plenty of people who aren't. So before we dive into that, can you tell me a little bit about your own spiritual journey and how it led you to human design?
Yeah. Okay. So I would say, you know, the short answer is I learned about human design when I was at my own personal and professional crossroads, like many people, summer 2020, right? Mm. For me personally, I had just transitioned into being a freelance web designer into working at a web design studio. And so I was kind of like, I don't really know what to do with this entrepreneurial spirit, all this energy in me, because technically I'm not a business owner. I'm not running a business, right? But also I was at a place where I was like, whoever I work with to help mentor me through this transition, I really need them to be aligned with anti-oppression, liberation work, have a very radical perspective. And so unbeknownst to me at the time, I was following my human design because I was like, I have a feeling something's just going to come to me. I'm not going to have to like go on a Google search and try to find that person, right? And so, by happenstance, I was listening to a podcast that was about how to have an anti-racist business, and they had a guest who was a very radical liberatory coach. And within 5 minutes, I was like, "That's the one. Book the discovery call. Let's go." Right? And so then on our first call, she just randomly was like, "So what's, do you know what your human design is?" And I was like, "No, I don't even know what that is." And she mainly wanted to know so she could learn how to communicate with me and kind of just get a sense for my personality. So I went down the rabbit hole that night of like getting my chart, didn't know what any of it meant. I found a blog that she recommended, and just all of a sudden, everything really made sense. Well, I won't say that. I won't say everything made sense because there's a lot of jargon on a human design chart, but as far as personal development systems go, this one made sense for me. Like I've done Myers-Briggs, tried astrology, wasn't even really an astrology person, but for some reason human design clicked, right? So that's how I found out about human design. But I would say even zooming out, when I was a little kid, I was not raised in a spiritual household. I was raised in a Christian household, but I was like obsessed with like yin yang rings, and like I had a little ring that had a yin yang symbol on it, and I had a little ring that had an ankh on it, and I loved Venice Beach, and I loved hippies, and I don't know who is this child? Where is this coming from? Somebody gave me crystals once, and I like coveted it like the most precious, sacred gift ever. I had like a little pouch that I would wear on my neck, and so I was just like kind of drawn to this, but didn't ever have anyone or any like anything I could see that was like, okay, maybe you should explore these things. So I just kind of put them away for a very long time. And then back to summer 2020, I would say that's when my spiritual awakening began. And here we are years later, and I've evolved into a very, very different person. Yeah.
Amazing. Cool.
Oh.
I think oh, sorry, go ahead. Do you want to say something else?
Also, by the way, I can talk a lot, and I attribute that to my throat center being completely open with no active human design gates. So feel free to interrupt me at any
Oh my
time.
gosh. I have like a rule almost on the podcast where I just love to let people talk until it feels natural for them to stop, because I also find it just helps with the listening experience for people too, because if I'm going, it's just like too much interruption. You know what I mean? So
Beautiful.
I will allow you just like, to say whatever you want, as long as you want, all that great stuff. So, and you're even bringing up some like human design jargon. So let's get into it. Like it, at its most basic form and definition, what is human design?
Okay, so human design is really a system like of concepts that can help you understand yourself and really how you're connected to the universe and connected to others, right? And I would say, you know, it's a combination of ancient wisdom and modern science. So, looking at things like astrology, the Hindu chakra system, the Chinese I Ching, which is an oracle system, with things like quantum physics and biochemistry and epigenetics. So, it's really almost like a mixtape of concepts synthesized into something that will give you a blueprint based on your birth date, time, and location, right? Very much like astrology. And you'll have a chart, and it'll have numbers and symbols and shapes and lines and colors, like almost like looking at an IKEA instruction manual for putting together a piece of furniture, right? And so, at its essence, what I think sets human design apart from other systems like astrology is really it can help you figure out how to make decisions for you that are going to honor your truth and your inner wisdom. So that way, if you're feeling like you don't know what your purpose is or your direction, or even, you know, when the best time of day is for you to take a shower, human design can give you a process for helping you figure out those answers for yourself.
Ooh, cool. Okay. I feel like I have so many questions coming off of it, but I'm sure they will all be answered in time. So you kind of went into the sort of the history of it, or the aspects of it that it incorporates. Where does it come from? Did somebody create this? How long has it been around? Like, what's the human design vibes for its history a little bit?
Okay, so the listeners can't see this, but I'm like laughing and kind of like wiggling in my seat. So human design is a relatively new system, like compared to things like astrology, right? So it came about in the late 80s. And like I said, it's kind of a mixtape of stuff that already exists. And there's a guy who was just chilling in Ibiza, having, a spiritual experience, and he got a download and he put it all together, wrote it down over the course of 8 days, and put it in a book and published it, and then people found it and started studying it, right? So in that regard, it's a little, some people are like, I don't know that I'm into human design because of its roots. It's not like, literally, I was having a conversation on social media where someone was like, I've wanted to explore human design, but it doesn't it have racist roots? And I'm like, what doesn't, if we're being honest, right? But so it's kind of one of those things where me, as a person who is Black, disabled, fully, is always like unpacking and decolonizing things. That's something I had to sit with, is do I want to continue studying a system that actually has been incredibly validating for me and that I was introduced to by other Black women simply because the dude who put it together maybe is a little was a little problematic. He's since passed, right? And so this is a conversation I've had with so many of my colleagues, and kind of what we've all come to the conclusion is like, at its essence, human design is actually a system about self-validation. So part of the process for you studying it is for you to validate for yourself whether it's something you want to study.
Ooh, I love that. And I feel like that's so well, first of all, I'm really glad that you touched on that for anybody, listening and sort of having questions about that. So first, super glad that you touched on that. And second, yeah, I think there's so much in all of life to be aware of, where did this come from? Who was saying these things? Is this whitewashed? Is, all of these things. And especially in the spirituality space, we can come across a lot of appropriation of cultures and being really like trying to be cognizant of that is really important. So yeah, I'm just really glad that you touched on that. And I think you're in like I just love the way you said, I'm not going to ignore this. I'm actually going to sit with this and see what that's about for me because I think that is very brave and very important. So cool. Love it.
Thanks. Yeah.
Can you tell us, so I know there's general types of, or like it's their system. So generators, manifestors, manifesting generators. Those are literally like the only three I think that I know. So I'm wondering, can you tell us more about like each type and what that might mean, and how do we
Yeah.
find out which one we are?
Yeah. Okay. So there are five types. And if you want to find out which one you are, you can actually get your chart for free from my website. Hopefully we can put the link in the show
Yes,
notes. You can just go,
absolutely.
yeah. So you just go to karenpage.com/chart, Karen with a Y, Page with an I. So there are five types. And again, these are like based on your aura, really. So literally based on your energetic field, right? So we kind of have to come into it with an idea that we each are radiating energy and we're taking in energy from the outer world, right? So there are five types, and again, they're based on your birth date, time, and location. So there's generators, manifesting generators, manifestors, projectors, and reflectors. And overall, in the general population of the world, the majority of the people are either generators or manifesting generators, next followed by projectors and then manifestors, and then the rarest of the rare are reflectors, and that's about 2% of the population. So still millions of
Wow.
people, but it's not, it's more common to meet a generator or manifesting generator.
Yeah, I think I did my chart I think years ago at this point, a few years ago, just because I was curious. And I think I was a manifesting generator. And so my question off of that, before we sort of get into like what does that mean and sort of the nitty-gritty of it. So okay, well, we can use let's just use what's the date today? So it's March 27th. So let's say, there's tons of babies born today, right? March 27th in, let's say, Los Angeles, right? Are all those babies the same type, or does it matter about your birth time? Like how, like, because in astrology we have these cutoffs and months and dates. Like how does that work in human design?
Yeah, so in that regard, it's incredibly similar to astrology in that the sun sign is going to be the same, but the rising sign would be different, right? So depending on the 2 hour window. So the same thing is true of human design. That 2 hour window is going to make some slight differences to the chart, but overall, I would say if everybody was born on this date in the exact location, they'd still have the same aura type. They'd either be one of those five. But then, depending on the time of day they were born, that's when you would get differences into other aspects of their chart.
Fascinating. Interesting. So, am I right in thinking like you're using aura type? So is the generator, manifester, manifesting generator, reflector, that's your aura type. Is that right?
Yeah. And
Okay.
so, some people will say aura, some people will say type, some people will say aura type. So, if I go in and out of that, I can totally understand if that would be confusing. But essentially, what that is like the auras have different qualities about them. For example, generators, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors are all very, they have varying degrees of like openness in ways that like your aura is inviting and it's welcoming things to it. It's welcoming things in, it's attracting things, right? And then manifestors are, they use language like repelling and closed, which can feel a little like inflammatory, like someone's saying something negative. But what that means is manifestors are more like putting things out and getting things started and initiating as opposed to always receiving things from the outer world, right? So that's what I mean by there's just like kind of this flow where a generator and a manifester are meeting, and the generator is responding to the energy that the manifester is putting out. But the manifester needs the generator to have someone to initiate. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how the auras can be connected to each other. And there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. There's no, ah, shucks, I wish I was a manifester. Why did I have to be a generator? Because everybody has their own unique gifts and strengths and challenges and themes that they have to work with based on their aura type. And that's okay.
Amazing. Okay. When we look at our chart, and I'm sure if people get theirs done with yours, it's like it's descriptive and helpful. But so we kind of see a like a person's outline, right? And then there's these lines that move and I'm honestly trying to remember. I should have done mine with your tool before we hopped on. But so what do these lines mean? And you mentioned this open throat line earlier. Yeah, can we sort of dive into some of the details that we might see within a chart and what those things might mean for us?
Yeah, so when you're looking at your chart, you'll see something that almost looks like a person sitting cross-legged. And this is where the chakra system comes into play because human design has these shapes on your chart and they're called energy centers and they correspond with the chakras, but they're not exactly identical, right? So as you're looking at your chart, you'll see what kind of looks like someone sitting cross-legged and there's nine different shapes. And then those shapes have these little like tubes that almost look like circuitry or wiring of a machine. And some of them might be colored in, some of them might be white, some of them might be, black and red, et cetera. And then inside those shapes, there's all these little numbers, but they're not in numerical order. They're all like just kind of thrown in there, and doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to it. So the shapes that you see, those nine shapes, are your energy centers. So if you're familiar with chakras, you'll see a root center, a sacral center, an emotional solar plexus, a heart chakra, a throat chakra, a head chakra, and an ajna, which is like the mind, right? You'll also see a spleen center and an ego center, sometimes known as the heart or the will center, right? So there's nine of those. And then you'll see numbers inside of those, and those are gates, which are really just like different energies, like different archetypes and characteristics that can be found in each center. So, for example, in the emotional solar plexus, there's a gate that's all about having energetic boundaries when it comes to intimate relationships, right? And in the sacral center, which is all around like workforce, life force energy. There's a gate there specifically that's like, you're really good at starting projects. So it's kind of like, oh, if you see the number and it's highlighted or it's colored in, that gate within that center is active for you. And then zooming out, if you see the center itself colored in, it's defined, which means that's your energy. It's radiating from within you outwards. And if the center is not colored in, that means it's undefined, which basically means that's you're like an open window and you're taking in the energy from your outer worlds.
Ooh,
So
okay.
again, for example, like if you were to look at your emotional solar plexus center and it's colored in, you probably feel your feelings a lot and they're very intense for you. Whereas if it's not colored in, you probably feel other people's feelings really intensely. And if someone else feels sad, maybe you feel sad too. So again, there's no right or wrong, but that's kind of where I would get started with that piece. And overall, looking at your chart, that whole thing together is called the body graph.
Okay, interesting. Okay, that's so fascinating. And the question coming out of that that I have is, if we just go with the solar plexus sort of example, should we be, I don't know, is there this idea that we should be leaning into the things that we see on this chart that are already like lit up or open or however we want to describe it? It feels like human design is about leaning into the amazing parts of you that you can see through the chart instead of like trying to see what you are and then change it or improve upon it in some way.
Yeah. So again, I'm a big proponent of there's nothing wrong. You are not designed wrong. There's nothing that you need to fix. There's nothing that you need to change. Right. What I would say, because I really love the energy centers. I think that's like one of the areas of focus that I like to speak about the most. I'm a big fan of open and or undefined energy centers because I think that's where our sensitivity lies that can actually show us maybe the parts of ourselves where we might need to do things like create boundaries or be very compassionate with ourselves. For example, I think the emotional solar plexus feels like a good center to, just use for like hypothetical purposes,
Yeah.
right? Someone with a completely undefined emotional solar plexus may have grown up their entire lives being told that they're too sensitive. They may have grown up being really afraid to have difficult conversations. And that could have been because they were actually afraid to feel the response of the person on the other side of the conversation, right? But again, that empathy, that sensitivity is a gift. There's nothing wrong with it. But maybe the lesson there is how can you hold emotional space for people while also acknowledging that you have your own emotional needs, you know? Whereas someone with a defined emotional solar plexus could feel their feelings so intensely that they've learned to not feel them at all. And so the lesson there is, hey, you do have really powerful emotions, and they're always trying to communicate something with you. Let's find a healthy way for you to process that so that you're not harming yourself or others, and you're letting that energy run its course because it's just staying inside of you right now.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I love the idea of, because I think in the world, I'm sure you've experienced yourself coaching and studying human design and being on the internet. There's so much self-improvement, especially in the spirituality space, that self-improvement talk. And for me, this sounds like almost like I'm leaning into things that I know are great or that I know I can be good at. And that feels so good compared to like, these are the things about you, and this is how you can change them. You know?
Yeah. And again, like, let's zoom out here. There are people who are human design experts out there right now who are probably like, oh, you have an undefined emotional solar plexus. You need to fix that. You know what I mean? But my whole approach to this thing is like coming from a place of compassion, really coming from a place of you have always known who you are. It's even at maybe a tender age of 3 years old, somebody came in and said, don't do that. Don't behave that way. Whatever your social identifiers are, that's not how someone like you is supposed to behave. And so we learn to do the opposite of who we are. And then you look at your human design and you're like, oh, wait a second. I've been right all along. Like, I am a sensitive person, and that's okay. I am somebody who starts projects but doesn't finish them. That's okay. The world's been telling me to stick with the same thing, and that's never felt correct for me. And so that's where it's like really learning to work with your energy and embrace it and give yourself so much compassion. And in human design, there's this concept of like once you learn your chart, you start deconditioning, right? And some people like that language and some people don't. But ultimately, that's just like you starting to release all those unhelpful external messages that you got about yourself and returning back to your inner wisdom. And so you can even look at your aura type again to help guide you on how you can start that process of releasing and returning to your inner wisdom.
I love that. And I think that is such an important thing to do in life overall, but also like with if you're listening to this podcast, you're on some sort of journey, I would assume. And I think returning to our inner wisdom could be a really important aspect of this. So can you tell us a little bit about how we can use human design to help find that alignment within our lives? And if you want to use your own human design and your experience as an example, I think that might be really helpful, like how you've sort of aligned with your human design and seen things change or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. So once you take a look at your human design chart, there will also be some words on the page that say things like, this is your strategy and this is your authority, right? And then they just leave it at that. Like there's not a lot of in-depth explanation for what that means. But basically what it means is we each have an authority within ourselves, our inner authority that we can turn to help guide us to make decisions that are in alignment for our aura, our energy, what's going to work for us, right? And spoiler alert, it's not your brain, okay?
Who knew?
It's not your brain, okay? Again, just like there are the most common aura type is the generator, the most common inner authority is the sacral center, right? So that's what they say when they tell you go with your gut, just, listen to your gut, that kind of thing. But for other people, it's your emotions, right? Like I have to feel this out. How is this decision going to make me feel? Okay, that's my inner authority letting me know. And for other people, it's your intuition or your instinct and your spontaneity. And it's like, I don't know why I was walking forward and then something just told me to turn right and I turned right and I met this amazing person and they have this incredible opportunity and it changed my life. I'm so glad I turned right. So for each person that inner wisdom is really kind of more connected to the body, which I think so many people are talking about these days, reconnecting to the body, somatics, regulating the nervous system, being present through things like meditation and other grounding so you can get out of your head and connect back to your body. So each aura type has an authority that is where they turn to for guidance. And then based on that, you have a strategy. And that's just like playing a game. Like there's a strategy to having the best experience in a game. It just turns out this game is your life, right? So
No pressure.
no pressure, no pressure. There's no wrong answer here. Like if you don't, if you don't have a mastery of the strategy, that's okay. You have your whole life to tinker with this strategy. But so for example, I'm a generator. And I have a sacral authority. So for me, I check in with my sacral. It's a very unique process where it's either a yes or a no, babe. Like it gets to be binary, even though not all binary is a good thing. But in this situation, it's like, do you want to take a shower in the morning? Yes or no. And I just kind of wait and I check in with my gut. And then my strategy is to wait to respond. And so this can be a point of contention for a lot of people because it makes them feel like you're just kind of sitting on the couch waiting. But really, what it means is like you're never not responding. There's always something happening in your outer world. But at the end of the day, I like to think of the generator strategy as like the outer world is constantly bringing stuff to you and saying, is it this option or is it this option? Is it this one or this one? Which one do you want? And then you get to say, no, yes. So, an experience for a generator is very much like scrolling through Netflix with a bunch of thumbnails of shows that you don't want to watch until you get that show you do want to watch. And you're like, yes, Press play right now. I am so excited by this option. This is a full yes. And it's about not trying to let your brain get in there and be like, well, maybe you should watch the number one rated movie in the country right now because everybody else is doing it. You should too. And you're like, but I don't want to watch it. My gut is telling me no, thank you. So it's about negotiating what is truly your yes and truly your no, and then deciding from there. So that's just the experience specifically for someone who's a sacral generator. But again, that process is different for each aura type based on where your authority is. And for the most part, most people on this planet are here to actually let things come to them, as opposed to chase them or try to make things happen or initiate. And that is not what we're told in this
It's the
society.
opposite. It's the opposite, I think, especially in the US. There's that whole like rugged individualism, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you're not self-made, oh, that's so boring. Like all this stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, none of us, first of all, none of us do anything alone, which should be a relief. And I think I have a my biggest memory of looking up my human design, and this really stuck with me, I think. And this was a few years ago. I feel like I've done a lot of deconstructing since then, but it was like, it kind of had that wording of waiting for things to come to you instead of chasing things down. And at that time, when I read that, I was like, how? Like I can't do that. Well, life is just gonna pass me by if I just sit around and wait. Or like, it like almost had this huge ego reaction for me that was like, I'm afraid to do that. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah.
And again, it's like there's so many different ways to look at it. And as a generator, I've had to make it make sense, not only for me, but also for so many people that I've worked with. And so I like to actually think of the generator strategy of waiting to respond as more of like you're always being presented with options, and it's really based on which one is going to feel the most satisfying and which one do you think is going to feel the least frustrating. Right. And just this idea of like, we're never not responding. And that's why I said things like the outer world for a generator. It's really important to be present and be connected to what's happening in the outer world. But again, we all get up out of bed, have a hygiene practice, feed ourselves, wear clothes, do activities. So then it's just like, okay, well, what are you responding to? Like, literally, what makes you go, oh yeah, that's a me thing. Yes, like something switched on inside of me. And which one is like, no, thank you. Like, how do you pick food off of a menu at a restaurant? You can literally be like, no, tacos, yes,
Absolutely. Yes. It's
so.
always yes to the tacos, by the way. I would love to touch on, and did you say it was the reflector who is the rarest type? Can we touch on that a little bit? Like what makes them the rare? Like what in terms of the birth dates and times and stuff, and what are their differences?
I love reflectors. They're so unique. I love to think of them as like just these rare gems, right? So the thing that makes a reflector unique is that when you look at their body graph, remember we talked about the energy centers and some are colored in and some are not. For a reflector, none of them are colored in. They are literally reflecting the outer worlds, right? They are incredibly sensitive people. Ideally, every community would have a reflector that just sits, kind of samples what's happening. And then people come to them and they say, hey, how are you feeling? Because however you're feeling is a reflection of how we're feeling. So if you're not okay, we're not okay. Right. And so this is a really like magical place to be, but it's also incredibly difficult for reflectors because, hi, capitalism is not checking for that. Right. The other thing about reflectors, which makes them so unique, is their strategy is actually to have a very deep connection to the moon and what the moon is doing in its lunar cycle and allow that to help inform their decision making for the big things like, where do you want to live? Who do you want to live with? What do you want to do for a living? Right. And so just like the moon is changing all the time, is in each zodiac sign within a cycle, that's how a reflector is. So their energy is ever changing, their energy levels are ever changing, their moods are ever changing. Because they have so much openness, they're very talkative people, but very insightful people. Like, I like to think of like an ideal job for a reflector is they get to work independently. They get to come in, let you know what's messed up about whatever you're asking them for help on. And then they leave and they're like, bye, on to the next. Bye. I'm going to go sleep for the entire season. I
Yeah.
only work 4 months a year. You know what I mean?
Consultant
So,
vibes.
yeah. Yeah. And so that's it. Like I said, it's kind of a hard place to be in this society, which is so rigid and so stringent. So, I've worked with reflectors who they burn out really easily. Sometimes they have to take medical leave. Sometimes, they learn really at a really young age, you're way too sensitive. You're way too like inconsistent. Or some depending on their environment, sometimes they get wrapped up with the wrong crowd and they're just taking in that energy. So it's you're not just in some spaces, reflectors are referred to as like a Teflon nonstick pan because they can be in amidst all this energy and not have it stick to them. But I've found in conversation with reflectors that that's simply not true. Like the thing for a reflector truly is to have me time and have alone time and discharge all that energy that you've taken in and have grounding practices so you can get back to yourself and figure out who you are and what you like, what you don't like. But then once you figure that out, you can leave any situation or relationship or job or anything. You don't have to wait a full lunar cycle to get out. You just have to wait to get in. So you give yourself the time that you need to really land on your truth.
What about, I think generators are the ones that we haven't touched on as much. Can you tell us a little bit about generators?
Okay,
Or
so,
have we, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. We talked about
okay.
manifestors because that's you touched on that because you're a manifester, right?
No, I touched on
You're a
generators
generator.
because I'm a
Okay,
generator. Yeah.
changing the question around. Let's talk about the manifestors then. I'm really showing my ignorance in this subject.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great. You're fine. Okay. So, okay, let's talk about manifestors because I'm fascinated by them as well. They're the only aura type that does not have to wait, they're here to initiate. They're here to ignite others, like really be a spark. Manifestors are giving like fire sign energy, right? Especially Aries energy, because they're just here to just blaze through, get the people going, share the hard truths. They have a defined throat center that's part of their design. So their communication energy is really, really powerful. They're here to inform, right? But not implement everything. That's for the generators, the manifesting generators to do, right? So the thing, I like to use a lot of words that start with the letter I for manifestors because they're very independent. So the irony of being a manifester is when they're little kids, they're the kid who's like just gonna go play outside without asking for permission. Or they're the kid that's just gonna say the awkward thing out loud that's going to like really make people feel uncomfortable. And then they're told at a young age, hey, you have to wait. You have to ask for permission. You can't use your voice because it makes people feel uncomfortable. And so the journey for a manifester is often unlearning those things and speaking their truth because it has the power to initiate others into action and also move independently with as much autonomy as possible. But again, we all need each other in this world. Manifestors aren't here to actually do the heavy lifting. They're just kind of here to be like, I'm the vision person, I'm the project manager over here, but y'all are the ones who actually carry out the vision. I'm going to go rest. I've done my job. I've sparked my spark. Now I'm going to go lay down.
Love it. They have the vision, like the vision, the inspiration, I feel like you're saying, and they have, and then hopefully they're sort of able to inspire people to implement. So is then a manifesting generator like a mix of the two?
Yeah. And here we get into, some of the nuances, right? So the thing that makes a manifesting generator different than a manifester is that they have that defined sacral center. So that's really more connected to generators. The only aura types with defined sacral centers are generators and manifesting generators. But manifestors also have a defined throat. So they kind of have this ability to initiate and implement, which can be a very unique thing. But ultimately, their strategy is still to wait to respond. But what I like to say for manifesting generators is really visualize what it's going to feel like or look like or what you want to create, and then check in with yourself and like kind of put it out there and then respond and say, is it still a yes or a no after I kind of put it out there? You know, I would say manifesting generators are slightly more similar to manifestors than generators, and generators are actually more similar to projectors because of the waiting piece. So you want to talk more about manifesting generators? Or you want to talk about projectors?
Well, yeah, because I was thinking like, okay, I know I'm missing one. And so let's touch on projectors just in case maybe somebody's listening and right after the episode, they're kind of hop on your website and get their chart done. So yeah, I'd love to touch on projectors too, just so people have a little taste of every type.
Yeah. So projectors, they are unique in that they have a lot of undefined energy centers typically. They don't have a defined sacral center. So again, they're not really here to be putting a lot of workforce implementation energy into things. Really, projectors are the facilitators, the guides, the mentors, the teachers among us, the healers among us, the nurses. Like they have a lot of caretaking energy, but the projector strategy is to wait for an invitation, right? Because you might want to heal someone, but they might not want to be healed. And so it's really about, for projectors, living your own life, following your bliss, finding success on your own terms, not the like toxic capitalism version of it. Don't overwork. You know, projectors are very efficient at getting things done, but you know, that does not give you permission to overuse your, you know, energy or have 18 things on your to-do list every day, right? Because again, you're here to help other people bring out the best in themselves. You're not here to bring it out for them. And that's a very tricky place for a projector, because so many projectors just want to help and want to give. And that's where the burnout can come into play. So the projector journey I love projectors because they really help like a generator or a manifesting generator get that focus going, right? So for example, my mom's a projector. I'm a generator. My mom is a seamstress. I fancy myself to be a seamstress, but you know, mediocre at best, right? If I'm left to myself, it will take me months to finish like the simplest sewing project. But I can go just be around my mom and literally like plug into her energy, and I can start to finish, create 3 garments in 1 weekend.
Cool.
And it, you know what I mean? It's like they're here to really help you be efficient and get the best out of yourself, but not like my mom's not sewing the thing for me. She's just there, like facilitating my energy, right? So I love
cool.
Projectors. And so you can start to see like every aura type, we all need each other. We all can tap into each other's energy and give and receive. And it's magical that way.
Okay, cool. I am so glad that we touched on all of them. And yeah, I think that really speaks to how they can all work together and the power of having the right people around you and how cool and powerful that can be. And we've touched a little bit on capitalism in this episode. We've touched a little bit on, you know, anti-racism and this important work of being in this world. And so I'm wondering, is there any tips that you have for using human design as a tool for liberation, which you also mentioned in your bio, which I love, like liberation for yourself and the collective.
Yeah. Okay. So liberation's a really big topic. It's got a lot going on in there, but I think where I would start is one of my philosophies is that when we do our own work individually to heal ourselves and to release those really harmful, oppressive stories that we're all taught, especially, taking into consideration race, class, gender, sexuality, ability, all of these things that we're told, right? And they influence how we show up in the world. Human design is a tool that you can use to show up authentically as yourself and listen to yourself. That's another part of the systems that oppress us. They're always telling us that we don't know what's best for us. Someone else knows. Our parents, our teachers, authority figures, politicians, religious figures, right? And it's like, don't listen to you. And when you do listen to yourself, those same oppressive systems will gaslight you. And so, through connecting to the body, through connecting to your inner wisdom, which human design can help you do, you are less open to being harmed by those oppressive systems because you're deeply rooted in your truth, right? And even thinking about the aura types, we talked a lot about waiting. We talked a lot about resting. And these oppressive systems don't want us to wait. They want us to go, go, go. They want us to be disconnected from our bodies. We don't have enough time to rest. That's a big thing for me is when you rest, you can connect to your truth. Because, hi, have you ever been sleep deprived and then maybe made a decision that didn't serve you? You know what I mean? So, even thinking about what do these oppressive systems want from me? What are they extracting from me? Are they allowing me to be myself? Are they allowing me to rest? Are they telling me to who to listen to? Human design is like, no. Everything you need, you've always had within you. And then the other piece is when you start working on that, essentially that energy is going to radiate out into the collective. And again, so much of human design is like you're not living in isolation. The aura types need each other, benefit from one another, help to uplift each other. And so, with the idea of it starts within and radiates out. Eventually, collectively, we all need each other, and everybody has something in their toolkit to contribute to building and reimagining and inviting other people to rest and letting people know the temperature check of the community and generate like all these. You have all these ideas as a manifester, and you have all this ability to facilitate as a projector. The generators are the builders and the creators. The manifesting generators are the ones who can wear multiple hats and connect other people and help lots of things get done in different ways. And it's like there's so much magic to it. And that's what I see as liberation is really releasing things like gatekeeping and releasing things like power hoarding and releasing things like competition and embracing things like collaboration, sharing resources, sharing knowledge, literally vibing with each other. And oppressive systems don't want us to do that. So even if you're like, I'm just gonna make a decision that feels really satisfying, or I'm just gonna rest a little bit more. I know I put too many things on my to-do list, but as a projector, that really doesn't serve me. And if I'm being honest, it never has. So I'm gonna just notice that and hold myself in compassion and try to do something that is aligning my energy a little bit more every day. And then those mundane decisions, they add up and they build momentum and they turn into these like huge collective energy shifts. So
I absolutely love that so much. It feels like as you're speaking, it just feels so powerful and also so inspiring. Like I almost just feel like teared up from the thought of, yeah, like what if we were all were so deeply connected to our true selves? And I get chills when you say, making decisions that those sort of oppressive systems don't want you to make. Oh, it feels so powerful. And so, yeah, I'm just so grateful that you voiced that. And I hope, like, I'm sort of just marinating in it right now because I just love the energy that you brought to that answer. And I hope, like, listeners can also marinate in that and find power in that as well. Oh, love it. Love it
Yeah.
so much. Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, I was going to sort of ask about like capitalism and that, but I think you sort of just put it all in a really beautiful nutshell. But if you do have anything you want to speak to on that, I'm, happy to invite you to speak on that as well.
Well, Yeah, I think for me, what comes up right now is just how extractive capitalism really is. And I'll say it again, I kind of touched on it earlier, but capitalism really does not want us to be connected to our bodies, and it does not want to give us time to rest because it wants us to be burnt out. And then when we're burnt out, there's someone else who can come and replace us, right? So just I know it's really hard right now for people to imagine themselves as these powerfully energetic beings in a world where we're just trying to pay our bills and make sure we have shelter. You know what I mean? And so I just want to honor that wherever you are in your life. If you're like, Karen, this is great, but I'm, trying to do a day job and a side job and raise a family, and like I'm drowning in bills. This feels really hard. I hear that. I do not want you to think I have a Pollyanna approach to any of this. And also, if we keep doing what we've always been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've always done. And that's why I encourage everybody to just do the most mundane decisions in alignment with your strategy and authority. Like, literally, as a manifester, how can you speak truth to power just a little bit more? And how can you rest just a little bit more? For generators, how can you start waiting for trust? How can you start trusting that the right option that's going to feel satisfying is out there instead of saying yes to something that you're going to hate simply because you're afraid that you don't have any other options, right? Like we have to be holding two truths at the same time, honoring our human and honoring our magical beings, and it's possible. That is again why I love coming to this system from the perspective of who I am as a Black disabled woman who has felt like I've had so many limitations and I didn't have options. And part of that liberatory process is getting curious and being like, wait a second, there's always another option. Let's get curious. Or let's talk about it. Let's be in community, put our heads together and figure this thing out, right? And then also, I know we talked a lot about jargon today in human design, and there's one thing we didn't talk about, which is emotional themes. And there's emotional themes for each aura type. You'll see that when you look at your chart. And again, for generators, the emotional themes are frustration and satisfaction. So, if you're feeling frustrated in any aspect of your life, that's an indication that your energy is out of alignment. It's just not, the vibe is just off. Where on the flip side, if you're feeling satisfaction, that's an indication that you are moving into alignment. And so, again, generators, what would feel more satisfying? A shower in the morning or a shower at night? Coffee or tea or lemonade? Water with ice, water without ice. And that is where you start to say, I am the decider. I do have control. I do have authority. I do have autonomy, even if it's these simple decisions. But guess what? The clearer you get on making those decisions rooted in your truth, when it comes time for you to make a huge life-changing decision, you will know without a doubt that you're using your inner wisdom and your inner authority because you've been doing it with these mundane daily decisions all along.
I'm gonna say it again. I love that. Wow. There's so much goodness in there. I don't have to add to it because you have done such a fantastic job. I think, wow, yeah, so much knowledge in this episode and also just so much powerful talk in this episode that I think is just gonna be so helpful and wonderful and important for people to hear. So, is there anything else I'm missing? Before we wrap up, anything else, any myths that you want to bust about human design? Any extra little tidbits you want to give us? If not, that's also totally fine, but figured I would ask.
Be mindful if you're bringing in that internalized oppression into your study of the practice. There's no perfectionism. There's no urgency. There's no right or wrong. This is you. You'll get there in your own time. You don't need to have this thing figured out in, a 30-day challenge. Okay. And if you start nowhere else, if you don't have to start with your strategy and authority, start with those emotional themes that you see on your chart and just ask yourself, when have I felt the not self emotion, what was going on in that situation? And when have I felt the signature emotion? What was going on with that? And then just get curious and start to build in more of the signature emotion and start to release the things that give you the not self emotion. And I tell you, you'll get where you need to go in your right timing.
Beautiful. Karen, thank you so much for coming on. I am so glad that we found each other on Threads. I just appreciate your knowledge so much and your wisdom and power in this episode. I'm gonna ask one last question, and that is, what is any one tip that you can give listeners to help them open up their door a little bit more to their own human design, which I also think you just gave such a fantastic tip about the emotional this and that. But if you have any one last thing to add.
One last thing, if you don't already have your chart, like I said, you can get it from my website. You can follow me on Instagram or Threads at Karen Page, KaRYNPAIGE. And I talk a lot. I say a lot of things that I've been thinking of, and I know this might be a bunch of new information. So my tip for you is just like you said, just let it sit, let it land, you know?
Marinate in the human design. Karen, thank you so much again for being here. This has been so fantastic, and I just appreciate your time so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you love the podcast, don't forget to rate and leave a review wherever you listen. Follow me on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast and visit my website, openingthedoorpodcast.com, to explore my reading offerings, digital downloads, and more. Plus, subscribe to my email list to be the first to know about OTD news and offerings.